ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
We've always been very bad at predicting the future. Don't believe me? Well, 67 years ago, the ABC asked Australians to do just that, and...
You all commute daily and hourly so fast through space in your private flying saucers...
Global peace and international harmony will be completely attained by the year 2000.
Yeah, still waiting on that world peace. I'm Matt Bevan, and for If You're Listening, this is Black Swans, a series about the events we can't see coming, no matter how hard we try. It's available now on ABC Listen.
For a second time since the election, the coalition has split. The Nationals have walked out after a number of senators crossed the floor to vote against this week's hate speech laws. So, is this a moment of real change in politics? And could it help the rise of One Nation? Today, the ABC's national political lead and host of Insiders, David Spears, on how the marriage fell apart once again. I'm Sam Hawley on Gadigal Land in Sydney. This is ABC News Daily. Spearsy, let's start with this vote on the government's hate and gun laws in the Parliament. Now, this legislation passed, of course, with support of the coalition, but a number of national senators opposed the bill and crossed the floor. Now, just tell me about that and who that involved.
So, Sam, Parliament only sat for 2 days, but a lot happened in those 2 days. Obviously, the government, the Prime Minister, had to give some ground breaking up his initial plan for an omnibus bill that was going to cover everything. And one part of it then became the gun laws, which went through with the Greens. But the problematic one for the coalition was, as you say, the hate laws bill. This is the bill to crack down, if you like, on groups like Hizb ut-Tahrir, the Islamist group. Problem for some Liberals, but also for the Nationals, was drawing this line on hate speech that would not prevent free speech. Susan Lee reached the position that they got to back this. They couldn't reach agreement, though, between the Liberals and the Nationals, and that played out in the Senate with those three shadow ministers who sit in the National Party voting against the bill, while the Liberals voted with the government for the bill. And it was that split that was seen as a breach of the shadow cabinet solidarity that is a requirement of being in shadow cabinet and led to the dumping of those three shadow ministers.
Yeah, okay, and one of those senators was Bridget McKenzie. I mean, what was she sort of saying about the reason for doing this? Because she must have known the consequences of it.
Well, that's a really good question, Sam, because, look, Matt Canavan, who is in the National Party on the backbench, he is seen as the one who really drove their position. He was the strongest in articulating why they should be opposing this or had problems with this.
I do have this problem that, you know, we seem to come back here time and time again to Canberra and rush through changes. Because certain authorities want more power, and I can understand why they want more power, and the consequence is fewer and fewer rights for Australians, riding roughshod over our constitutional rights.
I mean, others, like Bridget McKenzie, were more complaining about the rushed nature of this, that it had all been chaotic, this was Labor's and the Prime Minister's fault in rushing it.
And unfortunately, despite the many positive elements of this legislation, the government has not been able to convince my party room that adequate safeguards are in place for the proposed hate crimes.
But really didn't, I think, articulate what they feared this bill would do. Mm. You know, some were suggesting privately they were worried about pro-life groups being caught up in it. But as the government points out, at the end of the day, the way this will work is ASIO will have to recommend to the Home Affairs Minister that a group be banned. It is hard to see that they're going to go after those sorts of groups other than the Islamist groups, neo-Nazi groups that they've talked about.
Mm, okay, so these senators, they have to resign from the front bench. That's protocol. And Susan Lee, she's in a semi-difficult position, if you put it mildly.
Yeah, not semi-difficult. This was diabolically difficult for Susan Lee. Yes. There's no doubt about it, Sam. This was an invidious position, right? Here was her choice after those Nationals voted against the bill in the Senate. She either gave them a leave pass and said, oh, it's okay, you can stay in Shadow Cabinet, we can keep the whole show together here. But that would send a message to the Nationals and her own Liberals that there are, you know, waivers, leave passes, you can do this sort of thing. That effectively breaks down Shadow Cabinet solidarity. Mm. It really seriously weakens her leadership authority. So that was a bad option. The other option, which she took in agreeing to dump these three shadow ministers, meant that the rest of the Nationals would go. This was made very clear to her by David Littleproud,
yes,
that the Nationals had made this party position. It wasn't just three rogue shadow ministers. This was their party position. And if they were dumped, the rest of them would go, which is what happened.
Yes.
I sent a letter advising Susan Lee that if she accepted those resignations, then our entire ministry will resign. Unfortunately, Susan Lee has ignored that. Therefore, the entire ministry resigned, but she has also forced the coalition into an untenable position that can no longer continue.
So that was the choice that Susan Lee faced. In the end, you know, she opted to maintain some respect and authority in her leadership, but at the cost of rupturing the coalition.
Wow. Okay. So then, yeah, on Wednesday night, the Nationals leader, David Littleproud, he quits, and then all the rest of them. So taking the total to 11. That's all of them, right?
Yes. So they've broken up again. Now, they broke up briefly after the, well, for a week after the election last year, less than a year ago, but came back together over some policy demands that the Nationals had made. This time around, though, the Nationals are making it very clear they have a problem with Susan Lee, with the leader. They've said they will not serve under the leadership of Susan Lee. They couldn't be any blunter about this. They want a new Liberal leader before they'll even think about returning to the coalition.
There is no shadow minister that wants to be served in Susan Lee's shadow ministry.
By the way, some Liberals take great umbrage in that and say the Nationals aren't going to tell us who our leader will be. Even critics of Susan Lee don't like the Nationals telling them who their leader should be. But this is what the problem now is. This seems to be a more serious rupture in the coalition, part of the broader, I guess, fracturing and realignment, if you like, of the right of politics in Australia.
Yeah, David Littleproud was really blaming Susan Lee for all of this.
Yep.
This process wasn't all Susan Lee's fault. Anthony Albanese put her in this process, but it has been mismanaged by Susan Lee. And there was a out yesterday to not accept these three resignations. She was aware of the consequences if she did, that the National Party were being forced into an untenable position around the coalition, and she still made that decision.
So let's consider her future in a moment. But before we do that, Spizzy, let's just look at what this actually means for the political landscape. Of course, as you say, the coalition has split before, but now, again, policy is a problem. The two parties, they just can't seem to weld together very well anymore. Are they just too far apart in their thinking now?
I think there's a few things going on, but normally these sorts of differences over, you know, a policy, and in the end it might have just been some tweaks to the legislation, amendments that might have been the difference. Those sort of differences should be able to be resolved in a functional coalition. The fact that it couldn't be resolved tells us they do have a bigger fundamental problem. There's a pressure from One Nation that can't be ignored here. The pressure particularly on the Nationals from the right, particularly now with Barnaby Joyce, such a prominent figure going to One Nation and being so vocal in the media every day. This is weighing on Nationals, who are becoming, you know, more concerned about that threat they face from the right. And look, you know, what it means in practice now, the Liberals now have the opportunity to go it alone, appoint more of their own to the shadow ministry. Perhaps, you know, there'll be a debate within the Liberals. Do they become a more moderate force, move away from the Nationals and target those seats they've lost to the Teals? All of this is now in play while the Nationals work out where to go from here as well.
Yeah, wow, what a mess. And, you know, Barnaby Joyce, he has actually suggested or welcomed some of his former colleagues, if they want to come over to One Nation.
Yes. And look, you know, in a sense, he would say that.
Yes.
And has suggested that there have been some conversations, sort of kite-flying conversations is how he put it, nothing too serious by the sounds of it with some of those Nationals.
It's a tumultuous thing to change parties. I've been there myself, but I think people are starting to see a little bit more of the reason why, by reason the last couple of days. it's not something that I would push somebody into doing, but if they chose to do it, I would support them.
Look, I wouldn't be surprised if maybe one or two others were seriously contemplating it. Most of the Nats, though, are dyed-in-the-wool National Party members, have been their whole life. So, you know, there are people who won't leave that party, but where that party goes, and does it stick with David Littleproud as leader? You know, does it try to chase more votes on the right that have gone to One Nation? And you know, this is now all in play.
Yeah, but that's the thing, isn't it? Because the polling is showing at this point, we're somewhere from an election, of course, but One Nation is becoming more popular.
Mm.
I mean, as this internal bickering continues within the coalition, it helps One Nation, doesn't it? How significant is that polling?
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, this chaos in the coalition, the biggest winner is clearly Pauline Hanson and One Nation.
Mm.
You've got a week where One Nation moves ahead of the coalition in news poll for the first time ever. And in that same week, the coalition breaks apart, the National Party now going it alone. This is, as I say, this fracturing and realignment on the right of politics that's just so fascinating right now and remains unresolved.
Hang on, though. There's no way, is there, Spearsy, that the Nationals could form a coalition with One Nation?
Well, I was pondering that myself. I don't think so. I think they are too much rivals for the same voters, and I just think that would be perhaps a step too far.
Yes.
Plus, I mean, One Nation might be, you know, surging in the polls. That's a different thing, though, to having a big presence in the parliament.
All right, well, Spearsy, let's consider then the future of Susan Lee and her leadership. Can she possibly survive this?
It becomes very difficult.
Yeah.
This is twice now that the coalition has split. That in itself is a problem, and the Nationals now openly saying that they cannot return while she is leader. That's a problem. She
yes.
already had the problem of a divided party and people looking at the likes of Andrew Hastie or Angus Taylor as potential alternatives. And not to mention the polls. I mean, they are exploring new depths in the polls right now, the Liberal and National Party. So that is a problem too. I mean, one influential Liberal said to me last night, you know, yes, this break in the coalition is bad for Susan Lee, but the real problem is going to be that next news poll or the next set of opinion polls.
Mm.
If they are equally bad or even get worse, then yes, her leadership will be very much in play.
Gosh, okay. Well, what does it mean, though, for Labor and the Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese? Because he's been under huge pressure, that's safe to say, since the Bondi attack. Does this actually take some of that pressure away from him at this point?
It does. This is a huge relief for Anthony Albanese. I mean, look, he also, to be fair, has succeeded in the Parliament in getting through those gun law reforms and the hate speech crackdown. He's got that done. So he's shown that, yes, he's been able to deliver something for the Jewish community. Not all that they wanted, not the racial vilification bill, but they've managed to get something through. And the Jewish community have welcomed that. He also, you know, backed down on the Royal Commission. He's done all of these things that the Jewish community were so critical of him for not doing for weeks and weeks. So that will remove some of the pressure. But this blow up now in the coalition absolutely relieves some of that pressure on Anthony Albanese as well.
Yeah, and it's not a great look really, I guess, Spearsy, because of course this breakdown in the coalition, it began unfolding at the beginning of this National Day of Mourning for the victims of Bondi. I mean, timing's not great, right?
It's hard to believe.
Yeah.
I mean, in that week, weeks after the Bondi attack, it was Susan Lee, it was the coalition who were sounding most in solidarity with the Jewish community and clearly were seen as, you know, being more ready to take steps to protect that community and stamp out anti-Semitism. Here we are, a little more than a month on, and it's the coalition that split over what to do in response to Bondi.
Mm.
The Nationals, who couldn't vote for this bill to crack down on hate groups, neo-Nazis and Hizbut Tahrir, now they've broken apart. They're on this, as you say, this day of national mourning set aside for quite some time for us all to reflect on what happened on that day, and the loss for that community in particular is the day, the very day that the coalition has decided to break apart. So, yes, it is an extraordinary turn of political events.
Yeah. And what do you think then, Spearsy? Is this a turning point in Australian politics? Could it be a start of a new structure?
I think it could be. I think it could be. I think, you know, there are many steps along this path that we've been on for some years now when it comes to what's happening on the right of politics. But this moment, yes, is a big step. Where it leads to, I don't know. What direction these parties go in, how they realign, who moves where. And sure, the Liberals might change leaders and there might be a move to try and reunite the two parties. But these difficulties will remain. People won't forget what's happened this week very easily. So yes, I do think it is quite a pivotal moment for Australian politics.
David Spears is the ABC's national political lead and host of Insiders. This episode was produced by Sydney Peed and Cinnamon Nippard. Audio production by Sam Dunn. Our supervising producer is David Cody. I'm Sam Hawley. ABC News Daily will be back again on Monday. Thanks for listening.